Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Potzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann. Buchmann. Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor,
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast with me, Johnny Walsh. Today I'm joined once again by Matthew Karagic. Matthew, how are you doing this morning?
Doing very well, thank you, Johnny.
Happy days. And Eva is back once again to give us her views on the greatest league in the world. Eva, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Happy days. Everyone is good, everyone is well. Well, everyone is good and everyone is well, apart from the football, because for everyone involved, apart from Matthew, this has been a bit of a nightmare. But Matthew, congratulations on Schalke's win, as much as that pains me deep down to say such a thing. But enough of that other league in Germany. It's time to talk the best league in the world, the true European Super League, which is Zweite Bundesliga. And we asked you on Twitter this week, we're talking about strikers, of course. Simon Terodde is in a class of his own when it comes to Zweite Bundesliga strikers, but with several forward men scoring regularly, we want to know who has impressed you most this season. We give you three options: Daniel Kitoruel, Lucas Hintersea, and Robert Glatzel. And it was a pretty clear win for Daniel Kitoruel. 49% of the vote. Lucas Hintersea came in with 33%. And Robert Glatzel, funny enough, came in with 6%, which was a bit low, I thought. Other managed 12%, the majority of which were mentions for Pierre-Michel Lasoga. And he did, of course, score a pretty important goal last night. The less said about that, the better. Matthew, we'll come to you first. We're quite big fans of Robert Glatzel. Are you a bit surprised that he only managed 6% of the vote?
A little bit. I mean, he's been quite efficient in front of goals. He has been injured the last few weeks, and that may have swayed the poll to be quite low. But when he's had his opportunities, whether he started or come off the bench, he's been able to produce. And, you know, it's quite surprising. But also, Heidenheim have been able to create and score without him, so I guess that might be the other thinking for the listeners.
I think you're right in what you say there, and perhaps it's a case of, with a team who have Mark Schnatterla and Nikola Dovidan, you almost expect them to do pretty well when it comes to finding the back of the net, and that certainly continued across the weekend. Eva, if it was up to you, which striker would you be picking out of those three, or is there another one who you would maybe go for?
Yeah, I would agree with the majority and go with Kitoruel. I think he's very, very important for Fürth, especially this season, and you can see that he's there when he's needed, for example, in the Bochum match. I'm very sorry for that. So I would go with the majority and say I think he impressed me very much this season.
Yes, unfortunately, it was a weekend where football just didn't want to play ball with me at all. 86th-minute goal for HSV and a 91st-minute equaliser for Greuther Fürth. I mean, that is what we live for. And I think it was quite funny that after last week we were sort of discussing how much easier between the three of us life would be without football. And as soon as that goal went in, I just seen someone pop up on WhatsApp and say, "I really don't know why I watch football anymore." And I can totally agree with where they're coming from, but that is life. Plenty of mentions, as well as he isn't maybe a natural striker, for Nikola Dovidan. He is someone who has really caught the eye this season. Matthew, is he someone that, you know, Bundesliga side should be paying more attention to? I think of all the players from last season into this year, he's probably been the best player in the league, would it be fair to say?
Yeah, very fair. I mean, he's very much a creative. He can work with Schnatterer. He can play that traditional number 10 role behind the striker, but also As we've seen a couple of times this season, he's played that false nine, that set, which Frank Schmidt sometimes likes to play. I think Bundesliga clubs need and perhaps are paying attention to him. I would say teams like maybe Mainz, in particular, a team that hasn't scored a lot of goals this season. He would be quite good for them, or a Freiburg under Christian Streich. You know, he would be the kind of player that would thrive under his system alongside Nils Petersen. So, yeah, I think teams would be paying attention to him. And the more, the more he hits the score sheet and, you know, sets up goals for the likes of Glatzel, Tom Miller, Schmidt, then we'll see, you know, it increase. And who knows, we might see a team bid for him in the winter transfer window.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him make the step up, and I think a lot of Zweite Bundesliga fans are maybe a bit bemused that he hasn't got a sniff at the Austrian side, especially given how they've been recently. But, you know, Austria, please. Northern Ireland need to not get relegated, so if you can be very, very generous and finish bottom, that would be greatly appreciated. Rabilio on Twitter has said, David Bates, best striker in the league and clean sheet god. Period. Of course, it was the first time HSV have kept a clean sheet without David Bates on the pitch, if you exclude the Magdeburg game where he played the majority of it. So it was a very important performance from Lacroix and Van Drongelen. Donald McCrory says, Moussa Kone at Dynamo Dresden. Eva, do you like Kone? I think he's one of those players where when he's great, he is one of the top strikers in the league. But when he goes off the boil, he doesn't really offer that much.
Yeah, I would agree. So he can be very, very good. And everyone playing against him fears him a bit, I think. But if he's off a bit, he's not great at the moment or in that moment.
And I think Armenia are pretty well serviced for strikers as well, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't really worked out so far.
No, I don't know why, because when you compare it to the last season, like, everyone scored, Klaus Vogelsammer, we had Hartherz even, and Kerschbaumer, but they're, like, with Owusu, we have a good striker, I think, but they're not in, like, not at all in shape at the moment. Although it was better on Sunday. It gets better, I hope, at least.
We certainly hope so as well, and we will come on to that match in a minute. But first, it is time to look at our Goal of the Week poll, which was won by Keanu Stauda. For once, I didn't call him Kevin, which is an improvement because for some strange reason, Kevin sticks in my head more than Keanu. Second place was Jan George with that stunning curling effort against Union Berlin. 14% went for Boris Tashi's goal against Paderborn just a couple of minutes after he'd come off the bench. And 11% went for Marius Bulto's effort for Magdeburg to get them back into the game against Darmstadt, although it wasn't meant to be. Matthew, which way did you go in this one?
I like Jan George's goal. You know, they'd gone down a goal prior to the event, and it was such a classy finish. I mean, you know, perfection into the top corner, and poor old Rafael Gikiewicz was just a passenger as the ball found its way into the top bin.
There's nothing worse as a goalkeeper than watching something go in and just know that you'll never be able to get anywhere near it. Eva, would you have agreed with the majority and went for Keanu Stauda?
Yeah, definitely, because Stauda showed some confidence that was leaking the match, or wasn't there the previous matches. So I really liked that he just said, okay, I'm going for that one now. And I think it was not the most beautiful goal of all times, but it was stunning, I think.
It was a very good finish, that much is for sure. We will come on to that Armenia game when it comes to Group 2 and our look back at Match Day 12. But for now, we're going to get started into Group 1 with HSV against Köln. Yes, there was a change at the top of Zweite Bundesliga this weekend. Well, there are a couple of changes at the top of Zweite Bundesliga this weekend, but the one team that came out on top after match day 12 was HSV. They won the big clash with Köln on Monday night 1-0 thanks to Pierre-Michel Lasoga goal. It was anything but a classic, but Matthew, HSV came out on top and that's all they're going to care about.
Yep, and the evolution of Hannes Wolf football is very much, you know, undertaken. It's a defensive struggle. You know, they're going to keep it very tight at the back. And I think defensively, they were fantastic. Despite the criticism that we've had for Leo Lacroix, he was brilliant. And yeah, it was a very good team performance by HSV. And I think overall, in the grand scheme of things, they were worth the 3 points.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to disagree with that. They had the better chances and made them count eventually when it came to Lasoga tapping home after Timo Horn had made a very good save after Douglas Santos had gone on a mazy run. Of course, Danilo Suarez is the better Brazilian left-back when it comes to Zweite Bundesliga, but we'll leave that discussion for another day. Eva, what did you think of this one?
I think it would be more funnier to watch like 3 episodes of the Lasoga soap. I'm watching that game yesterday. No, seriously, Köln wasn't in the game at all. I think like in the second half, in the end zone, where the Tirode actually had the ball for once, that was very surprising. But that shows again how good the defense worked yesterday for HSV. And yeah, I think in the end, you can't really say like that the better team won, but the team that was more consequent in the end, actually.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It was, as you say, it was a very, very tough watch, and certainly not what Sky had built it up to be pre-game anyway. I think when it comes to Monday night games, the less stature that the teams carry, the better, as Bochum and Jan Regensburg very eloquently showed last time out, and we had another late goal, and sadly it wasn't the way I would have wanted it to go, but that's neither here nor there. It was a good win for HSV, and then now sit top of the table with St. Pauli tucked in behind them. Hamburg are dominating the Zweite Bundesliga, which is a sentence I never thought I would say. But Matthew, do you think this is going to shape things for the rest of the season, or can Köln get back on track? Of course, a couple of draws after that defeat to Duisburg, I would put the Schalke game down as a draw, 120 minutes, and then lost on penalties. I think it's fair to say draw and then a loss rather than a loss and a draw. But one of those ones where maybe this defeat will maybe let them free up a little bit and go for things again.
Yeah, the response is going to be interesting. And when you come off a performance where they were passive and very un-Anfang-like in their approach, yeah, I think that was kind of a rude awakening where, you know, Hamburg weren't exactly clinical going forward, but they really ensured that, you know, when they lost possession, Köln really had no options. I mean, you look at, say, Simon Terodde's performance, and, you know, for large chunks of that game, you wouldn't have even known he was out on the pitch. He had one shot on goal for the entire 90. Yeah, I mean, that's a rude awakening. And teams will in the league would have taken notice, and they will try and, in a sense, replicate that in the future. But it's certainly something that Anfang will look at and know that his team needs to improve on that coming forward.
It'll be interesting to see how things go, and I'm sure Marcus Anfang will be able to turn things around. The FC fans will certainly hope that starts this weekend against Dynamo. Moving on from HSV Köln, we can take a look at Jan Regensburg against Union Berlin. Both goals scored at the very tail end of the first half, and it was one of those games that flattered to deceive. It promised quite a bit. It delivered quite a bit on the pitch as well, but Matthew, for one reason or another, we only ended up with the 2 goals.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing considering, you know, the goal-scoring nature of Jan, but I think that's exactly how Union would have wanted to play it, limit the chances, limit the goal scoring that, you know, the fans crave. And, you know, I think they would be happy with the point. You know, they'll thank Gikovic for saving the penalty from Sebastian Stolzer. But, yeah, I think as the game grew on, Union looked the more likely to score. They did score that goal through Ken Reichel, but that was chalked off. I think Union would be more happier with the point than Regensburg were.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And just looking down the table now, it's strange to see a side sitting with just 4 wins but 8 draws and still managing to occupy 4th place in the table. But credit to them. They are still unbeaten after 12 league games, which is a feat in itself. And I would imagine that there's a Zweite Bundesliga record not too far off in the distance. I haven't checked, but they're bound to be not too far away from getting close to breaking that. Now, Eva, as we said, this game wasn't much of a classic either, and there were chances on both sides, but Union may be a little bit unlucky not to have won the game after that late goal for Ken Reichel was disallowed.
Yeah, especially because they took the lead first, and maybe especially after Stolzer shot wide and like the penalty wasn't shot very well. They had a bit of hope, and yeah, and then I don't know how that worked out in the end, but yeah, maybe a bit unlucky, and I think they should like work towards to finally win something, because you can manage to stay in the league with like 17 draws. Armenia managed that, but it's not really satisfying yet.
It would be interesting if they managed to draw the remainder of their games this season and end up with 4 wins and 30 draws and go undefeated and not go up. That would be very fitting of the Zweite Bundesliga, that is for sure. From Union and from Jan, we will make the short trip to Fürth, and that was their 2-2 draw against VfL Bochum. Bochum were 2 goals up for the 2nd week in a row, and unfortunately they managed to, well, do Bochum things and end up losing their lead once again. Two teams very close to each other in the same sort of region of the world, two goal leads, and both went out the window in added time. It's another tough result to take, and had added time not been played this season, Bochum would be joint top of the table with HSV. I think that's all you need to know about what I think when things go over the 90-minute mark. But nevertheless, Matthew, what could have been?
Yeah, it's... Hopefully, I guess for Bochum fans, it won't be the tale that defines the season. It's I mean, you bring up the point that they could be equal top, and that's frustrating. I mean, they were very good in their first half, good for the lead. Hinterseer is finally hitting stride. He's got 8 goals for the season, and it all looks so good. But you know, Fürth have showed that they are very much a second half team. And they showed it against Bielefeld. Sorry for bringing that up. And they showed it again. The game never looked over in the second half. And then obviously Kate Royal scored. And yeah, I think Robin Dutt, you know, he's going to get grayer and grayer as the season goes on if they keep finding ways to choke leads away.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to lose her, maybe not through stress, but just by pulling it out at the situations that Bochum managed to put themselves in on a weekly basis. But what can you do? That's one of those things. I think the only solace I can take from this entire situation is the fact that we're playing Darmstadt at home next. And when it comes to teams getting late wins over Darmstadt, Eva knows that more than most, especially with how things went at the Bielefeld Tour this season. Eva, it was a close game, and a draw was probably a fair result, and I think credit must go to Fürth for fighting back so late and managing to take a point from the game.
Yeah, especially because I think they actually woke up after the 1-0 for Bochum, and then when they managed to score the 2-1, they were woken up completely. And in the end, I think Keita Royal actually could manage to score the 3-2. So you were a bit luckier than Armenia, but still 2 games in a row losing to... Gold's lead is a bit disappointing, I would say. And maybe Bochum should look at being stable in both halves and actually manage to keep up their lead.
I would quite like a performance for not just 90 minutes, but for 95 minutes, just to be 100% sure. Maybe we will get that this week against Darmstadt, I'm not quite sure. But from Group 1, we'll move on to Group 2 and start off with Armenia against St. Pauli. It is with Armenia we will begin. And Eva, I will let you have the floor with this one. A 2-1 defeat to St. Pauli, but I think it's fair to say that wasn't entirely deserved.
So, yeah, in the beginning, they were really, really good. I really liked Lukoki and Schütz back on the pitch. I think, especially what I said before with Schütz, you can see that a lot of calmness is coming back to the midfield. No offense to Seufert. I think he did a great job so far, but Schütz is just better for the situation right now. He's a bit older. He has a bit more experienced than Seufert does. And I think you could really see that in the first 45 minutes. Then the score by the goal by Staude, we discussed already. I think it was well-deserved. I think you couldn't see a lot of St. Pauli in the first half. But in the second half, Armenia did Armenia things in this really, really stupid penalty that was caused by Stefan Zeiger. It was not really necessary to tackle him that way. And yeah, then they lost the control again. But I think as Kocinski said, that Armenia sold themselves a bit under the value they were actually playing. So it was a huge improvement to the last 2 games, I would say. And that gives me a bit hope for the next Sunday match against Ingolstadt, because it's going to be a very important one. I know that the team is standing behind Sabena. So Berna actually said they don't want him to go. They think that would be a wrong thing to do. But in the end, he's always the first one to go. So I'm really hoping for the team's sake, for Zabina's sake, for the fans' sake, that Zabina can stay.
I think everyone around Armenia is united in the fact that Jeff Zabina is the right man for the job, and fingers crossed, everyone in the hierarchy of the club agrees with that too. Obviously, results haven't gone their way of late, but as you say, this was a big improvement this weekend, and Matthew, I think that's the most important thing. But equally, for St. Pauli to go to the Alm, to not play at their best, to get the 3 points and to go top of the table, albeit for 24 hours, was a massive achievement for them. And, you know, we maybe thought this might have been a bit of a flash in the pan, but they really seem to be sticking it out up there.
Yep, It's some classic Kalchinski football where sometimes it's not pretty, but it's result-driven and finding a way to get a victory. And they've shown it multiple times this season where they've come from behind to get a victory. You know, you can go back to the opening day of the season where they beat Magdeburg coming from a goal down. The game against Sandhausen at home, where they went 2-1 down. And it's something that can define the season, that they find ways to win. What has to be said, though, is that the goalkeeping of Himmelmann was incredibly outstanding. I think he was the thorn in the side for Bielefeld, who could have easily gone 2, 3, even 4 goals if it wasn't for some outstanding shot stopping. So I would assume a case of Astra would be going his way after that performance.
I think it would have been well deserved in any case, and we will make the move to Duisburg against Paderborn now. It was a hugely impressive and important win for Duisburg. It was their first home win of the season, long overdue, many will say. And Matthew, one would hope, at least if you're an MSV fan, that this is the sign of things finally picking up again and getting themselves out of the trouble that they're in.
Yeah, and the teams they've beaten so far under Torsten Liebknecht have been good teams. I mean, you beat Köln away at home, and then, you know, Paderborn, who are generally an expressive team in terms of going forward, they create a lot of chances. And yeah, I think that they've been good wins, and they're things that they can build on going forward. I think the substitutions that Liebknecht made were very good. I mean, it's very nice when you bring on a striker like Boris Tashi, and you know, he comes on and his first couple of touches, he puts the ball in the back of the net. And yeah, I mean, it's a good win. And I think the key for them is keeping a clean sheet. They've been pretty ordinary defensively, and to keep one of the best offensive teams goalless is an impressive feat and something that they will hope to build on.
Yeah, that is for sure. And it's one of those ones where Duisburg, we're talking about teams underselling themselves, are better than their position in the table. We all thought they could be a dark horse for promotion this season. That hasn't quite worked out so far, especially when you're sitting 17th in the league. But they do know that a win would take them potentially, given other results go their way, out of that drop zone come next weekend, which would be hugely important going into the international break for a boost in confidence. Eva, not what Paderborn were hoping for, and a tough result for them to take, especially when they could have been as high as fourth had things gone their way this weekend.
Yeah, especially although Duisburg started off very well, Paderborn had the chances, and then Duisburg scored, and Paderborn went on with having a lot of chances in the second half, but the defense was pretty well put by Liebknecht, and I think that was a deserved win in the end. And that gives a lot of self-confidence going to the next match day. And that maybe we see Duisburg going into the midfield in the next couple of weeks.
It certainly looks like that will be the case. And we're talking about Paderborn, how they might fare this weekend. They play Kiel. That's one to watch. It certainly could be an absolute cracker, especially with the amount of goals that both teams can score. Talking about Kiel, they're our next game. They picked up a 2-2 draw with Ingolstadt. They left it very late to even get started in this game, but when they got going, they did manage to preserve that home record just about. Yet another late goal did it as well. We're talking about teams conceding late goals for the wrong reasons. Kiel have certainly managed to do that for plenty of positives. And once again, it was that man who managed to change it. It was Yanni Lucasera who came off the bench, and ever since then, Matthew, Kiel looked like a different side and looked like the team that we're more used to seeing.
Yeah, and it's you know, I can understand the reasons behind giving him a bit of rest, you know, playing that cup fixture against Freiburg in midweek. And I think it's a good sign to see a young player like Yanni Lucasera, who's only 20, we have to remember. The fact that the team is quite confident when he's on the pitch, and they seem to be a little bit toothless going forward when he's not. So it's good that they've been able to embrace him, and it's good that he's been able to find some decent form in the past few weeks. And yeah, it's a great point for Kiel, because they're pretty ordinary for a large majority. Kingsley Schindler getting a goal despite it being from the spot, and yeah, I think Tim Volz will be quite happy with the point, considering how poor they started the game.
Yeah, that is for sure. And they will look to kick on this weekend against Paderborn. That's going to be maybe a barometer going into the international break. We all say momentum is very important. For either side to pick up a win would vastly help them going forward this season. Eva, another game where Alexander Nui failed to pick up a win, but it is a second draw in a row, so I guess from that perspective they are improving upon things obviously we'll come on to look at Armenia against Ingolstadt in a bit more detail as we go on. But what did you think of them this weekend?
I think the good thing was that they were very stable in the defense most of the time. So especially against Kiel, they had a better start. They were the more active team. Yeah, but in the end, I think they're not having the confidence right now of winning those games when they have a team like Kiel playing against them. So that might be a different situation next week with playing Armenia.
It could well be, and given how both sides have been playing recently, that is a huge, huge game, and one that, well, Eva's going to hope that Armenia pick up all 3 points, and that is for sure. That's it for Group 2, now it's time to move on to Group 3. We'll kick Group 3 off with Heidenheim against Aue. There was just the one goal in this game. It fell for the hosts, and Matthew, I guess on reflection, a pretty deserved win for Heidenheim.
Yeah, they were pretty dominant for long stretches, and I think, you know, they defensively they weren't troubled for most of the game. And, you know, it's probably an unlikely source scoring the goal in Dennis Tomala, but... yeah, I deserve 3 points for Heidenheim, and now they're sitting very pretty in sixth place.
Yes, they certainly are, and we will see if they can continue that good form. A bit of a disappointing defeat for Aue, I'm sure, especially as things aren't going to get any easier when they welcome HSV to the Eidsgebjerg Stadion this weekend. But Eva, I guess... this is a game that Heidenheim would have expected to win. They won against 10 men, although it was a very late sending off. Dennis Tomala got that goal, and now they're sitting pretty in sixth, just 3 points off second place. They can't really ask for much more, can they?
No, I think we said that last week already. They started off into the season pretty well, and I think that it's not... like that surprising in the end that they're on sixth place. And as Matthew said, they were the more dominant team, both halves. So, yeah, that is a deserved win in the end and a deserved sixth place.
It certainly is. And I think the less said about that 1-0 game, the better, because we've got 2-3-1s to discuss. That involves, first off, Dynamo against Sandhausen, a 3-1 win for the home side. It was one of those games where Dynamo took the chances that came their way and were deserved winners, Matthew.
Yeah, would agree. And it's a crucial 3 points for them because they'd gone a run of multiple draws, and you know, we weren't really sure when it was going to come about the next victory. And you know, they're playing a Sandhausen side that is now playing a different style. They're probably a bit more open, and they took their chances when they came, and ultimately, they were very much worthy of the 3 points.
They certainly were. And Eva, thank you for sending me that thing from Fums. Sky have managed to get HSV, Bochum, Jan and Köln very confused, put them all into one game at once. So I mean, a four-sided pitch would be interesting, and perhaps what they're going to do with the new UEFA Super League. But yes, so Sky's graphic from last night's game is Pierre-Michel Lasoga celebrating. That's fair enough. The HSV Köln badge in the right places. That's okay. The right scoreline as well. So all's good up until the point where they've put it as Bochum against Jan Regensburg. I mean, a bit confusing, but whatever floats their boat, I suppose. Back to the football, though. And Eva, a disappointing defeat for Sandhausen. We thought they'd maybe turn the corner, but to go to Dynamo, put in a fairly decent performance, maybe 3-1 was a little bit harsh on them, isn't such a bad thing, and they're going to look back to, well, they're going to look forward to bouncing back, hopefully, that's a tongue twister, against Duisburg this weekend. How do you think they've done under Koshnat so far?
I think they have done really good. It's their first loss for Koshnat, I guess. Mm-hmm. Besides the DFB Pokal match, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that their fallback into their to the place before Koshina came. It's going to be a tough match against Duisburg, but as you said, Sandhausen had optical advantages in after the break because Dresden let them a bit. But in the end, chances were rare, so I think it was a deserved win for Dresden.
And I think when we look at Darmstadt against Magdeburg, Matthew, you can pretty much say rinse, repeat, and apply the exact same thing to this one too.
Yeah, pretty much. But this one was a bit more fiery. I mean, two players getting sent off, which, well, one's not very surprising in Dennis Erdmann. That dude's a walking red card. And obviously Fabian Holland, who's a big loss for Darmstadt in their upcoming fixture against Borkum. And that's something to watch out for. But certainly one thing that is rinse and repeat is Itak Suli scoring off a set piece. And he's done that. And yeah, Darmstadt, well worthy of the 3 points.
Just when you mentioned it was only because I was looking to try and find a right back for my team of the week this week, so I was going through kicker with a fine tooth comb just in case someone had got a rating that I hadn't expected and was perhaps worthy of filling in that spot. But in comparison to 2017-18, we've had one straight red card this season in comparison to match day 12 of last season. There had already been 8. But after 4 yellow-red cards, or Gelbrote Karten, as they say, there was 4 this week. That took our total up to 18, and 18 already after match day 12. In comparison to the entire season of 2017-18, there was 26. So I think we're on course to be very good when it comes to straight red cards, but less well-mannered when it comes to picking up 2 bookings and then getting your marching orders. Eva, Darmstadt looked to be back to where we would expect them to be under Dirk Schuster, but things continue to be very, very tricky for Magdeburg.
Yeah, although Magdeburg was the more active team and the 1-0 came more or less out of nowhere, so that was maybe a game changer. Maybe if Magdeburg would have managed to score first, that could have been a completely different game. But Darmstadt was better in the second half and scored, and then those 2 red cards. Although I'm not, as you know, I'm not a huge fan of Dennis Erdmann. I think the second yellow card, so what the card that got him sent off, is arguable because I wouldn't really say that it was a foul worthy yellow card, but who am I to judge that? He would have managed to be sent off anyway, I guess. So, yeah.
That is Dennis Erdmann in a nutshell, I guess, and for what happened in that game against Armenia. I suppose one red card perhaps isn't the worst thing, and maybe all in all, karma has come back to bite him there. But that is all for our Match Day 12 review. It's time to look ahead to Match Day 13 with our preview. Yes, it's time to delve deep into Match Day 13, and there are some very, very important games across the league this weekend. We're going to start with 4th against 5th, which is Union against Greuther Fürth. This promises to be a very interesting clash, and one where it could very easily go either way. Matthew, how do you see this one going?
I'm leaning towards the draw, but I have this odd feeling that maybe Greuther Fürth could upset the undefeated Union Berlin. I mean, you know, Union have, you know, drawn a lot of their recent games. They're becoming a little bit vulnerable. Defensively, they're still very good. It's just their attacking kind of worries me. Yes, Sebastian Polter scored on the weekend, which is a positive, but they couldn't put Jan Regensburg away when they had the opportunities. And I think the way Greuther Fürth are playing and their abilities in the second half to turn it on, I think they're a real chance of stealing all 3 points in the capital.
There certainly is that opportunity, and with Daniel Cateruel up front, that could be a very real possibility. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares against Hlidic and Hubna at the back. Those two have been very, very good thus far for Union. Eva, do you think Foot could upset the apple cart here, or are Union going to maintain that unbeaten run and take it over to 13 games?
I would really think that Fürth is a huge challenge for Union. So I'm not thinking that it's going to be a draw, because especially if Fürth continues to have such good second halves as they do, Union really has to score more than one goal and really has to go towards a win and not like say, okay, draw in the end, it's fine. But I would go with Fürth here.
There we are. Will the Kleeblatt, I'll get there eventually. Will the Shamrocks, even though Kleeblatt is also correct, will the Shamrocks manage to get the better of Union? We will see. And from Union, we can head over to Köln. They have a huge game against Dynamo. That is also two teams very close in the table. That pits third against seventh. A lot of these sort of close clashes this weekend. Matthew, can Köln get back to winning ways?
Well, that is the question. And, you know, they've been frustrated at home this season. Teams have been able to sit back and burn them on the counter-attack. And Dresden have those players, the likes of Kone, Dulevic, Aylsman, who are very pacey. They're good with the ball. They can be challenged. I think the Dresden defence will have to be on point. I think the response from what was a pretty disappointing play last night, by Köln, that will be the key, and just being better, you know, quicker ball movement, transitioning offensively is going to be the key for them, and giving Simon Terodde chances on goal. I mean, he averages every 8 minutes this season, so you know, getting him involved and getting him opportunities on goal, if they can do that, they should beat Dresden.
They should indeed, but Eva, I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park for Köln by any means, not that Matthew was suggesting that, I must say. And yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty close one by all accounts.
Yeah, I think so too, especially with Dresden having won the last game, and Köln are not at their level at all, I think. Armin Fee said it to Kicker that he's he's really disappointed since yesterday. And yeah, I think it would be a good time for Köln to turn it a bit around. And maybe even for Terodde after that disappointing performance last night to get back to scoring goals.
I think he's due a hat-trick. That would make me at least feel a little bit better about how football has gone over the past few weeks. We will see. However, Paderborn against Holstein Kiel is our final game of Group 1 that features 10th against 11th, but, you know, both sides are just 4 points off Köln in third, so by no means out of it either. Matthew, as much as some games do look like they could be filled with goals this weekend, I think this should be the one, hopefully, that we're guaranteed at least a couple in.
Yeah, it feels it, but I think there's a few times we've predicted goals and they've ended goalless. So let's hope not. I mean, you know, Paderborn obviously coming off the defeat where they, you know, they had their chances, but they weren't really clear cut. And obviously Kiel coming off a draw at home to Ingolstadt where they were 2-0 down. It should be an interesting game. The teams have only ever met twice, and that was in the Dritte Liga, and Kiel won both those fixtures. So, yeah, you want to back history, but I think Paderborn should be able to fight back after what was a pretty ordinary performance last week.
You would expect a reaction from Stefan Baumgart's side, that much is for sure. Eva, do you think they're going to get up?
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very tough game for both sides. But yeah, I would maybe still lean towards Paderborn because they want to show reaction losing to Duisburg last week. So yeah, I would go with Paderborn, but a draw is still possible as well.
I'm hoping for a 5-4 or a 4-5 or a 5 each. I mean, after Monday night's game, I think all we need is goals, goals, goals. And hopefully that is the case in Paderborn this weekend. That's all for Group 1. And now it's time to move on to Group 2. Yes, Group 2 will begin with Bochum against Darmstadt. Hopefully there are no late goals this week. Matthew, will Bochum maybe get a late goal, or will it be Darmstadt who come out on top in this one?
Well, despite Darmstadt's good form recently, I think I'm backing the hosts to win this game.
Good man.
Eventually I'm going to back you. I think Lucas Hintzer is in some good form, and same with Chong Yong Lee, who's, you know, he's got 4 assists in his last 2 games. I mean, he obviously had all assists in the Regensburg game, and we know the number 10 position has been a bit of an issue for Bochum, and I think he looks comfortable to fill the void. And yeah, I think if he can strike a partnership with Lucas Hintzer, it will be beneficial for the club and obviously for Robin Dutz. The key for them is to try and keep a clean sheet. In their last 4 meetings against Darmstadt, they failed to do so. So that will be something that they will look to change. But I think the hosts will take all 3 points this time.
I certainly hope you're right. And Eva, would you agree that Bochum are going to take all 3 points in this one?
Yeah, I hope so. And maybe they should like go up like 3-0 or so. So they're pretty sure they're going to win that one. Would be good for the confidence. I would go ahead and say that Bochum will win.
2 from 2. My goodness, what a turnaround. Considering that we were 4-0 up against Bayern, but we still managed to lose that way back when. So literally no lead is safe within our grasp. So until that final whistle goes after we've conceded 3 goals to make it 5-4 in the final minute, I am not 100% sure that we're going to win a game ever again. But that's part of the fun of being a Bochum fan. And from the right end of the table, so to say, we head to the wrong end of the table. This is an absolutely massive clash between Sandhausen and MSV Duisburg. It is 16th hosting 17th. Matthew, both teams are on 9 points. Are they going to be on 10 each, or are we going to see one of them move on to 12 come the end of the game?
I think someone will. It's a tough game. I mean, both sides are in pretty average form, and I think overall, I think we'll probably see a draw.
It's not the most inspiring fixture in the world, but we never know. It's I think there's actually going to be quite a few goals in this one, much like Paderborn against Kiel. Eva, do you see it going that way? Do you think we're going to see maybe a close draw, or are one of these teams going to get the advantage in what would be an absolutely massive win?
Yeah, I would say that Duisburg has much more confidence going into that game. Because they won and Sandhausen didn't. But I would still go with the draw, so maybe like a 2-2 or so.
The more goals, the merrier. And when we're talking about the wrong end of the table, unfortunately, we have to include Armenia in that. They are 14th at the moment, 5 points clear of Ingolstadt, and that's where they make the trip to this weekend. Eva, are we going to see a happy Jeff Sabina come full time?
I hope so. I have to say I'm not that afraid as I was last week because of the game against St. Pauli. And now we're playing a team that's not on top of the table. So that has not the power to turn a game around in 5 minutes. I would be very happy to see Lukoki and Schütz starting again, maybe even Staude, because he did a good job last week. Never imagined saying that. So I'll go ahead and say that it's going to be a 2-0 win for Armenia.
I certainly hope that we can celebrate that win. It's quite something for you to say that Staude has played well, but such is life at the moment that we have to hang on to even those things that we don't really want to. Matthew, are you backing Armenia in this one as well?
Yep, I am. And
a clean sweep.
Yeah, I do think they showed plenty of good signs early on. You know, even mentioned Lukoki, and I think you know, if he can string a few good performances together, that will help a little bit of that stability in defence for Bielefeld. You know, they haven't been great defensively; it hasn't been a secret. They just need to find someone to consistently get in the goals as well. And wouldn't it be nice for Bielefeld fans if, say, a Vogelsammer was to hit the score sheet and give Bielefeld all 3 points?
What are you going to back a 2-0 win?
I'll probably go 1-0 with Ingolstadt's burning opportunities left, right and centre.
Okay, that sounds pretty much similar to what Ingolstadt have done for the last 18 months. So I don't think we would be surprised if that was the case once again this weekend. That's all from Group 2. Now it's time to move on to our final three games in Group 3. Yes, Group 3 begins with, well, maybe some people would have said this should have been in sooner, but we can say we saved the best till last, even though they're not really last. It's time to look at Aue against HSV. Our current table toppers are heading towards Eastern Germany for this one. Matthew, will they still be top of the table come the end of match day 13?
Yes, they will. You know, they have almost flawless away record. They've drawn once away, they've conceded once on the road. It's pretty evident, similar to Köln, that, you know, away from the home stadion has been a good omen for them. It'll probably be a 1 or 2-0 win and a clean sheet. They've kept clean sheets in 8 of their 12 games this season. I would imagine it'd be number 9 for Julian Polisbek.
Another clean sheet. I mean, if you have him in your kicker team, you've done well. I picked Marcel Schuhen, so that sort of sums up how that's gone so far. But nevertheless, Daniel Messenhula is doing me proud over the last couple of weeks, so I sincerely hope there is not another goalkeeping change there. Eva, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I would agree. So that's going to be a win for us for... maybe not a clean sheet in the end. I would go for 1-3 maybe, but we will see how that one will turn out in the end. But I would definitely say it's going to be a win for that for HSV.
It is certainly hard to look past Hannes Wolf's men. 3 wins from 3, yet to concede a goal in those games thus far. It's all very, very rosy for the Hamburg side that play in blue, black and white. And for the team that play in brown and white, things aren't too shabby either. They're 2 points behind their city rivals at the top of the table heading into match day 13. They welcome Inform Heidenheim to the Millentor. Matthew, this could be a potential away win and a potential surprise win for Heidenheim, as much as I think we all know what we get from them by now.
This is true, but I don't agree with the sentiments. I think the St. Pauli side will win. Just some interesting stats that I've picked up in the games they've played since November of 2004. 5 times the home side has gone on to win the game. So based on that history, I think it'll be St. Pauli who will take the 3 points and continue their excellent form this season.
Matthew, do you want to say your stat from earlier just so that we can clear the slate? Because I think you were really, really wanting to say it and you never got a chance. So,
The Köln Dynamo Dresden stat, which in the fixtures that they've played, the only time Dynamo Dresden have beaten Köln was back in 1992 when they were playing in the Bundesliga. So a few years after the wall falling and Germany's reunification.
There's never a bad time for a stat. And Eva, before you look ahead to this game, you have one as well.
I have. So back to the St. Pauli Armenia game. It was the first game they won in Bielefeld since 27 years or so. So that sums up this season in one sentence.
Well, now that you've started talking about St. Pauli, I think you can discuss this game for us now.
So St. Pauli at home is always a very challenging team. And that's one reason I would go for a home win. I think they want to keep going a bit on the HSV nerves, so that they always are in the shadows of them. If they manage to play more than 5 minutes of very good football, they would go for a 2-0 win, I guess.
Both are in action on Saturday, as are Köln and Dynamo, just after what Matthew said. So there's potential for three different sides to be top of the table on Saturday afternoon. Once all those games finish, who will it be? We'll have to wait and see. It should be a very interesting afternoon of action. Anyway, that brings us on to our final game of Match Day 13. That is Magdeburg against Jan Regensburg. Where do you see it going, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm back in the Bavarians. I think Regensburg have, you know, figured it out. I mean, they're on a run of seven games without defeats. They're playing good football. They've shown in their last two games that no matter the deficit, they're able to find a way back in. They've got good options going forward. And, I think the misery for Magdeburg is set to continue, unfortunately.
Eva, do you back that up?
Yeah, I think so too, especially because Regensburg managed to be a very good team away from home. You could see that in Bochum, you could see that in Bielefeld, for example. And Magdeburg is still not very confident at home, so I would go for a Regensburg win. So.
I think we're all united with that one as well. That's it for our Match Day 13 preview. We'll see how accurate we were in predicting those games come next week. If it's anything like my kick tip so far, just don't listen to anything that I've said for the past hour. But nevertheless, I hope you've enjoyed it anyway. Now it's time to answer your questions, and Steel Penguin, thank you for your continued stellar work in asking us a question every week. At SteelPenguin3 on Twitter asks us, finally, I have an on-HSV question. This is one of the rare weeks where we haven't actually had something to do with anything HSV or Köln, which is always nice to shine the light on other clubs for a change. What do you all think of Americans in the Zweite Bundesliga? Julian Green, Terence Boyd, Jan George, Andrew Wooten, Kenneth Kronholm, Joseph Claude Gao, Leonard Maloney, Mackenzie Gaines, and Bradley Scott. Obviously, Bradley Scott hasn't played because he is Cairns' third or fourth choice goalkeeper, depending on what way you want to look at it. Mackenzie Gaines hasn't got any game time thus far this season. It's been fairly limited in terms of Terence Boyd and Giao as well. So I guess it's probably best for us to feature and think about Julian Green, Jan George, Andrew Wooten, and Kenneth Kronholm. Matthew, which one would you say has done the best so far?
I would say Kenneth Kronholm because, you know, the slight keeper at heart. I mean, you know, it's difficult to replicate the season that they had last season. I think he's been able to limit some of his mistakes that plagued his game. He's been pretty big for them in some of the games they've played this season. They've been under pressure defensively, but he's pulled off some really good saves. And I think, I'm going to stick with the shot stopper. I think he's probably underappreciated. And if Americans don't really watch the league, they should, because I mean, he's probably one of the best goalkeepers we have in the Zweite Liga.
I don't think he's going to get a US national team call up any soon, but stranger things, this is of course Vita Bundesliga. For me, I'm going to have to go with Andrew Wooten. It's nice to see him back fit again, scoring goals. He's been a real menace since Uwe Koshinat came in, and I think it's very positive that him and Fabian Schleusner have managed to form such a good partnership thus far. Eva, which one would you pick?
Yeah, we'll maybe go with Jan George, seeing how he managed to score again and again, not only this season, but last season as well. So maybe he's not the best, but I think he deserves a mention as well.
We're not far off being able to pick an entire team of Americans from the Zweite Bundesliga. And I think that, is it Bruce Arena is the American head coach at the minute? I'm not quite sure. But either way, whoever you are, pick all our players because they will do nothing but great things for you, regardless of who they are or how little they've played. Bradley Scott is, of course, a US under 20 international, so maybe we will see him between the sticks for the senior side in the not-too-distant future, although I think with ex-Freiburg goalkeeper Zach Steffen as competition, that's going to be a tough one. Hockey fights cancer at @tweet_by_Phil asks, after such a promising start to the season, how have Armenia managed to fall so low? Eva, should we just hand this over to you?
Yeah, so it sounds a bit mean and maybe a bit too easy, but I would go that a bit of stupidity is the cause of that. You could see that in many games. Then they were unlucky in many games. There was no real consistency in the starting 11. A bit caused through injuries, a bit due to Zabina trying to change something. I have no real answer to that in the end. So I think Sebastian Schuppan, an ex-Armenia player that maybe a couple of you know, he said that he's like, since he played for Armenia and now is in Würzburg, he never really saw Armenia at that low point, losing 6 games in a row. I just hope that we can turn that around and win again.
I think everyone is united in hoping that Armenia, apart from maybe Preußen Münster fans, I think everyone is united in hoping that we see Armenia do well again in the not too distant future. And our final question this week comes in from Alistair McLeod at Alistair MACLE, just in case you're not sure how to spell McLeod, 11, on Twitter. He asks, what's going on with the police in Zweite Bundesliga this year? Seems to be incidents every weekend. Well, where do you start with this question? I think in general, when it comes to the incidents in Magdeburg, that seems to be a specific police unit. I think if you read into that at any rate or read the translated version of what's happened to the Darmstadt fans and the statement that the fan Laden put out, if you have a look at that, I think that could be replicated to any of the sides that have had issues in Magdeburg thus far. That said, that does seem to have calmed down, which is good to hear at the very least. But Eva, things have maybe been flaring up a little more in NOV of late. Do you want to shed some light on that, perhaps, especially seeing as a lot of people are very interested in what happened in Bielefeld with the St. Pauli fans this weekend?
So, yeah, I read into it a bit, and apparently were only 2 or 3 St. Pauli fans that were behaving badly. So I read that 2 or 3 were chanting at the police or anti-police songs, and were like, there were a couple of Armenia fans in the train as well, and there was like a lot of drunk people, and then that was the time when the police actually used pepper spray, and then they like the USP, so one of the ultra groups in São Paulo, they were held at the train station. So, and it wasn't over. So when I went back to Münster, actually, there was still a lot of police. And I think until 8 p.m. in the evening, which is crazy. That was like 5 hours after the game ended. And yeah, so nobody really knows what happened. A lot of people say it's completely useless to hold on to like 300 people for no clear reason.
It's not what we want to see, but hopefully over the next couple of weeks things can be resolved and we'll see where things go from there. But for this week, that is all from the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We do hope you have enjoyed once again. My thanks go to Matthew and Eva once again for a very impressive performance on the podcast as per usual. And we'll see you again next week for more. And until then, enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football.